Weller in that dangerous age to start the hour, and the B-52s there with the Topaz. No Topaz skies today, just sort of grey-looking sludge outside, really. The full English breakfast show. Dorset's annual knob-eating competition has been held online for the first time.
Beg your pardon?
Now, the events which contestants vie to gobble more of the country's traditional biscuits than their rivals usually draws huge crowds. It's a biscuit, Sarah. To put your mind at rest. But this year, 100 competitive eaters live-streamed their attempts to swallow the savoury spears. Spheres, not Britney Spears, savoury spheres. Kate Scott from Shaftesbury necked 8.5 of the thrice-baked treats to claim the crown. Contestants across 9 heats got a minute to finish off as many knobs as they could manage. Festival chairman Ian Gregory said the bun-shaped confections were quite dry and competitors often used a mug to moisten them. Top nosher Miss Scott said she was determined to see off non-Dorset competitors and keep this local. It was all in the preparation. I had plenty of time to practice and focus, she said. Those knobs were going down. No one else was going to beat me.
Ob knobs.
It's a biscuit. No. They're kind of knob-shaped savoury biscuits.
Never heard of them.
Thrice baked.
Okay.
That's because you're not from Darset, innit? Darset. 8.15, the Full English Breakfast Show. The Insider Disco continues this morning on our 3 in a row. Today is chosen by Trudy and Silva. Got there in the end. Here's this morning's comedy, Poptastic, mate.
Matty, what did you get up to last night, mate? Anything exciting?
Well, I'll tell you, I had a nice quiet night in for a change.
Oh, you can't beat a nice quiet night in for a change, can you, mate?
You can't.
Put your feet up with a young friend, get a video out of the latest film release. Buy some popcorn, maybe a few beers. Get a takeaway pizza.
Or a Chinese.
Indeed, or perhaps a nice curry. Yup, you can't beat a nice quiet night in for a change.
You certainly can't.
Unless, of course, you go for a great night out.
You can't beat a great night out, can you?
Flicks with a young friend, see one of the latest film releases, buy some popcorn.
Have a few beers after, maybe go for a pizza.
Or a Chinese.
Or a nice curry. Yup, you can't beat a great night out.
You can't beat a great night out, mate. Unless, of course, you have a nice, quiet night in for a change.
You can't beat a nice, quiet night in for a change. And as a matter of fact, I stayed in last night.
Did you, mate?
I did. So there's two completely different ways to enjoy yourself there, a night in or a night out. And we've got full details of that in our brand new Radio Fab FM fact sheet entitled How to Enjoy Yourself.
What happens, Smashy, if you go round to a young friend's house for a night out and he's having a night in? Now, does that qualify as a night out or a night in?
Well, that's an interesting one, mate, because it's sort of in for him, but it's out for you. And yet you're both sharing the same experience in a quite literally uncanny way.
And then what happens if he goes out to get a takeaway pizza?
Or a Chinese.
Or a nice curry, indeed.
Well, then he's out, you're out, but you're in. And he's also having a night in, even though he's out. But he will be in when he gets back, when you'll still be out. Because he's actually only out temporarily, and he will be in as soon as he's back.
Continue, Smash, I'm enthralled.
You see, you're sort of in, and yet at the same time, you're out, so it's got to be in and out.
Quite literally.
It's like they're saying in the UK, you can go out, just not out, out.
Okay. But can you go out, out, out?
Maybe. Today's quiz, question number one. On this day in 1956, Elvis Presley had his first entry on the UK charts with which song?
Jailhouse Rock.
No. Want to have another go?
It's Now or Never?
No. Heartbreak Hotel.
Oh, right.
There you go. Question number two. He died on this day in 1981. A singer, songwriter and musician. He was just 36 and he died in a Miami hospital.
Nope.
Bob Marley. And finally, on this day in 1985, Madonna's single, which single, went to number one in the US?
85. Papa Don't Preach.
No, that was later, wasn't it?
I don't know.
Oh, maybe it was the same. No, Crazy For You.
Oh, dear. Big fat zero dear, today.
Dear. Yeah, you weren't concentrating, were you?
Well, I was, but...
Not really.
No, it's...
Yeah.
I should have got Bob Marley, obviously, but...
You weren't bothered.
Does my face look bothered?
No, you don't, actually, no.
Riviera Radio. Business.
Heidi, hi.
Good morning.
Having a little lie-in on Friday morning, were we?
Victory in Europe bank holiday on Friday. I don't know if it probably wasn't the same in France, but we enjoyed it here in the UK, and it was a beautiful day, so it was quite nice, actually.
It was a public holiday, but both the CAC and the DAX were trading, but the FTSE decided to close.
Okay, well, you know, we all make choices.
Yeah, and I'm sorry if I woke you up, but I completely slipped my mind that you wouldn't be working on Friday.
With two children, 5 and 3, 7:30 call is no problem.
Well, you could have graced us with your presence then, couldn't you?
Well, maybe not.
Or didn't you have anything to say?
Well, a few things to say. Markets have been somewhat turbulent, but it's actually a positive week for equity markets, as we know, during the course of last week, so perhaps we should reflect on that.
Yes, absolutely. A good week, as you said last week, across the board.
Yeah, reduction in coronavirus infections, hospitalizations and fatalities in key hotspots. Tentative signs that countries are starting to reopen their economies and a rebound in crude prices, albeit from extremely low levels, did create a positive backdrop for equity markets last week, despite, of course, concerns around the unprecedented drop in economic activity as a result of the global lockdown, surging unemployment levels and a re-emergence of tensions between the world's two largest economies. In terms of the immediate outlook, I think investors are assessing number one, the medical side, progress on testing capability, success of track and trace technology, development of a vaccine. They're also monitoring how quickly activity recovers as restrictions are eased, particularly around consumer spending, trying to ascertain the true impact of the economic disruption on corporate earnings over the short to medium term. So I think given the limited visibility in many of those key areas, sentiment is likely to remain cautious. We have been saying that we think equities could be range bound for some time. We think markets are unlikely to revisit the lows unless we do indeed see a second wave that leads to another full lockdown. But I think it's worth acknowledging there's also limited scope for a significant upside surprise as investors face a news vacuum on areas that could dramatically improve sentiment.
I have to say, from here, it doesn't look terribly optimistic. We've had a cluster of cases in Wuhan again this morning and some more in South Korea. And the R has gone up in Germany since the lockdown restrictions were eased. So, you know, it does look like we're going to get a second wave of this at some point.
Yeah, it's very true. That R number, of course, seen as very important. We know that's got to stay below one, otherwise the disease continues to grow, and risk of a second wave is very important. The world is monitoring that. The hope is, of course, that the measures implemented in the likes of Germany, where you saw huge amounts of testing, and in South Korea, where you saw strong lockdowns very early on in the process, would have been the key to trying to resolve at least the immediate issues of trying to deal with the disease. Clearly, there are risks around that, and we've seen, as you say, some early signs overnight about potentially that being the case. I think it needs further examination. Markets so far haven't been overly spooked by that. It's been a reasonable session in Asia, and we are looking at a positive start on the European bourses this morning. Currently calling the FTSE up 47 points. DAX over in Frankfurt up 108 points. CAC 40 in Paris up 28 points.
Mixed messages coming out of 10 Downing Street last night.
A little bit so. That certainly has been perceived by the media in the UK. Boris Johnson addressed the nation last night, announced a conditional plans to reopen society. The messaging has changed from stay at home to stay alert, and it's been difficult for some people to interpret exactly what that means. People who cannot work, he said, should return to the workplace, but should try to avoid public transport and maintain social distancing. Unlimited outdoor exercise, which I was obviously very pleased about. People with from different households can meet, but need to stay 2 metres apart if they meet in a park. Some disagreement, of course, with the devolved governments as well, which hasn't made the messaging that easier. Today we get a 50-page detailed report that's published, and that provides the detail that many people have been asking about.
And the bottom line is that until there's an effective vaccine that can be given to everybody, we're not finished with this thing.
Correct. Even a cure doesn't solve the problem, because any cure that we've been seeing so far, it's not simply a case of taking a pill and going on with your day. It requires days in hospital on an IV system, and that isn't practical for vast amounts of the population to deal with. So the key is the vaccine, and we realise that that's going to take at least a year, certainly long, perhaps longer than that, before we get to that point. So containment continues to be the order of the day.
And rival groups of countries seem to be slugging it out as who's going to develop that vaccine first. We had a big conference led by Boris Johnson in the UK last week, but India staged a rival conference. So, you know, they're going to compete about that vaccine.
No problem with that. Competition is always good. Global coordination, I think, would be useful, and perhaps we have seen some elements of that. The good news is that global science is in a rapid race to try and come up with the answers to a problem that is causing the global economy into lockdown, and of course resulting in huge suffering for many, many people.
Okay, some horrible non-farm payroll numbers coming out of the States at the end of last week. Unemployment in April, 14.7%.
Exactly right. Poet T.S. Eliot, in his 1921 poem Wasteland, described April as the cruelest month, a phrase that certainly rings true almost 100 years later if you look at the non-farm payroll numbers. U.S. employers cut an unprecedented 20,500,000 workers last month, reversing a decade of labor market gains and pushing the jobless rate to its highest level since the Great Depression. The unemployment rate, as you say, tripled, more than tripled actually, from the 4.4% a month earlier. Unemployment rate is forecast to rise higher this month as millions of more Americans have filed for jobless benefits since mid-April, which is the report's reference point. We should remind ourselves the US economy is very much a hire and fire one. Workers are not afforded the same protection as they get in Europe, for example. We project US unemployment rate will surge to 19.5% in the second quarter, but then start to steadily improve as you look into the second half of the year. We're expecting 15.5% in the third quarter, 10.5% in Q4.
And the Bank of England making some fairly grim predictions as well at the end of last week.
Yeah, it was an equally dire outlook statement coming through from them. So they voted to keep interest rates on hold at just 0.1% and maintain the level of asset purchases. In terms of the Bank of England's growth forecast, it suggests the UK economy will formally enter a technical recession in the second quarter. From the contraction of 3% in Q1, they expect the UK economy to contract by 25% quarter on quarter in Q2. They estimate that consumer spending has slumped 30% over the course of the past few weeks. They expect the unemployment rate to climb above 9% from the current 4%, inflation to fall to zero and remain below the 2% target level for the next 2 years. Looking forward, the Bank of England have been striking a more positive tone. It has to be said, they estimate that the permanent damage to the economy will be relatively small, will recover more rapidly than the pullback from the financial crisis. Bank of England anticipates activity will return to pre-crisis levels by the second half of 2021, though of course there are some downside risks to that. UK growth forecasts, from our perspective, we're currently forecasting 8% contraction in the UK economy in 2020, followed by 6.3% growth as you look through 2021. Along with those announcements from the Prime Minister yesterday, markets will also be looking at the UK-US trade talks that begin this week. In terms of Brexit, we continue to expect the Brexit transition period to be extended by a year. The UK, to remind you, has until the end of June to request an extension. Failure to do so would further impact the UK's growth prospects.
Ooh, that's a bold prediction. Does Dominic Cummings know about that?
Well, I think the reality of the situation will dawn very quickly on those making those decisions. Let's put it that way.
Foreign exchanges, please.
Pound against dollar coming in at 1.24, euro dollar coming in at 1.08. Can you get 1 euro 14.5 cents for a British pound this morning?
T.S. Eliot, you've been rehearsing that all weekend, haven't you, that long?
Well, I did a 10-mile bike ride on Saturday, actually. So,
Good, it's about time.
We're all getting back on our bikes, which is kind of quite nice, actually. So we'll see how long that lasts. So give me a little bit of time to think and survey the world.
OK, talk to you tomorrow.
Have a good day.
Hang pots and Barklets.
On FM and DAB Plus across the Côte d'Azur, on your phone and worldwide online. This is Riviera Radio with the latest local news for the south of France.
Sarah Lysa has the top stories across the Riviera.
After 55 days of lockdown, France today will begin a progressive end to the lockdown. Those unable to return to work will continue to work from home. Employers are obliged to put in place the necessary health measures to make sure no employees are putting themselves at risk. France has adopted a colour-coded map to classify each region. Red regions are the worst hit by the coronavirus. While nursery school children will be welcomed back for those parents that wish to send them in green regions, along with the reopening of parks. The four regions which remain red in France will have to wait before parks and schools are allowed to reopen. The attestation to circulate will no longer be required. Shops and shopping centres are to reopen, respecting social distancing, and the 100-kilometre restriction will be put in place over the next couple of days. Masks are strongly advised and will be compulsory in many shops and supermarkets, as well as on public transport. Those working in the Paris region will be required to have an attestation from their employer in order to access public transport. The decision by the mayor of Nice, Christian Estrosi, to make wearing a mask when outside obligatory between 8 a.m. and 8 p.m. has, however, been challenged by the League for Human Rights on Sunday. The municipal decree, dated May the 7th, states that people over the age of 11 are liable to a fine of €35. Meanwhile, the SNCF has announced that 3 out of 4 trains will be running on the Provence-Alpes Côte d'Azur network during peak hours. Restricted to 15% of normal traffic during lockdown, regional train traffic is expected to reach the rate of 3 out of 4 trains during rush hour and 1 out of 2 on average across the network. The SNCF ensures that all the trains will be disinfected at least once a day, that specific signage has been put in place at the stations and on board the trains, and that only large capacity trains will be circulating. This is all in order to allow people reasonable distances between passengers to be respected. Passengers are also able to consult train timetables on the SNCF website or on the mobile application. The running capacity will be gradually increased from May the 25th. There were no new cases of coronavirus reported in the Principality on Sunday, marking the 12th consecutive day of no new cases. The number of cases stands at 96, with 82 people having recovered, and one person remains in intensive care at the Princess Grace Hospital. Official figures have reported that in the Provence-Alpes Côte d'Azur region, the coronavirus has claimed 773 since February the 28th. Meanwhile, France's Ministry of Health confirmed on Sunday evening that 70 people have died from COVID-19 in the last 24 hours, the lowest number since the start of the lockdown. This brings the number of deaths in France from COVID-19 since March the 1st to 26,830. 16,642 were in hospitals and 9,738 in nursing homes. The city of Cannes had an unexpected visitor at the weekend after a wild boar ventured onto the Croisette in the early hours of Sunday morning. Local police were deployed to catch the unlikely visitor, which eventually fled. The scene was caught on camera and soon circulated on social media. Meanwhile, two men from Hyères in the Var have apologised to police and paid a €135 fine for breaking lockdown rules on their local beach by disguising themselves as boys. The pair said to local reporters that they just wanted to make people laugh in these difficult times and not offend anyone, and they were more than happy to pay the fine. France's Secretary of State for Transport has said that Orly Airport could reopen on June the 26th if the health situation improves. 9 airlines based at the airport in the south of the Paris region have asked the state to set Friday, June the 26th as a date for the airport's reopening. Finally, the president of the French Tennis Federation, the FTF, has said that the French Open tennis tournament at Roland Garros could be held without fans later this year. The tournament was initially planned to be held from May the 24th to June the 7th, but was postponed amid the coronavirus pandemic and rescheduled for September the 20th to October the 4th. Speaking on Sunday, organisers said they are considering the prospect that it might need to go ahead without fans present. It could even start 1 week later. The FTF is refunding all tickets purchased for the original dates of Roland Garros by the end of May, and a new ticketing procedure will be opened if it goes ahead.
Riviera Radio, Sports News.
Football, the English Premier League is facing a decisive few days as to whether it would be possible to restart the season. Club officials will meet today to discuss project restarts, with a vote not expected on whether neutral stadiums should be used if and when the season is resumed. Reports say that six or seven clubs are opposed to the idea. League bosses don't think there's widespread support for scrapping relegation and are confident there's a consensus for returning to training. The government didn't mention professional sports in its new coronavirus guidelines, which were outlined by Prime Minister Boris Johnson last night. An announcement that professional athletes can resume limited group training is expected today. Formula One discussions with the UK governments will take place today to establish whether new quarantine measures for overseas travellers will affect plans to restart the season. On Sunday, Boris Johnson announced that air travellers into the UK would be forced to self-isolate for a 14-day period on arrival, with the exception of passengers arriving from France. That could affect two proposed back-to-back races at Silverstone, but Formula One has outlined plans to make its activities coronavirus safe. The sport is to set up a rigorous testing procedure for all personnel attending races, including two COVID-19 tests before travel, then further tests for everyone every 2 days. A series of isolation measures will also be taken, including keeping teams separate from each other at the track, at hotels, and during travel in between. Rugby union plans are being considered to resume a curtailed Pro 14 season on the 22nd of August. Discussions are taking place over the tournament's future, with games almost certainly staged behind closed doors. A return for Pro 14 is more challenging, as it involves five different countries and international borders. There are draft proposals to have two rounds of conference matches, with sides playing teams from their own nation on the final two weekends in August. And in racing, horse racing in France is set to resume behind closed doors today with a meeting at Longchamp. Racing has been suspended in France since the 17th of March, but today's closed doors meeting can go ahead as the country eases lockdown restrictions. British horse racing is set to return later this month, including 16 group races on successive weekends.
The Marine Weather Forecast, brought to you by Oyster Yachts. Be safe on the seas with Oyster Yachts.
You're probably itching to get out on your boat, but I don't think today is the day for it, really. For coastal areas up to 20 miles offshore the Isle Maritime and the Var, the general situation is the thundery depression, 1,001 millibars over southern France. Winds are west-southwesterly, force 4 to 6. The sea is moderate, visibility is moderate, poor in showers. Barometric pressure at Saint-Jean-Cap-Ferrat, 1,000 millibars. And the outlook for Tuesday, partially cloudy, force 4 to 6 westerly winds, moderate seas and good visibility. For North Corsica, winds are west-southwesterly, force 5 to 7. The sea is moderate to rough, visibility is moderate, poor in showers. Barometric pressure at Cap Corse, 1,001 millibars. And the outlook for Tuesday, partially cloudy, force 4 to 6 westerly winds, moderate seas and good visibility.
The Marine Weather Forecast, brought to you by Oyster Yachts. Crafted by British boat builders since 1973, the best ocean-going sailing yachts in the world. The world is your oyster. Make Oyster your world. OysterYachts.com.
Riviera Radio. Weather.
There's somebody up there was smiling at me this morning. I got into the car park in Monaco. It was absolutely hammering down. I thought I'm going to get soaked. Came out of the car park, it had stopped.
Oh.
Got just down to the arcade by Stars and Bars.
And it started again.
And it absolutely started hammering again. So I managed to avoid getting wet. I hope I'm going to be lucky on the way home as well. Overcast outbreaks of heavy rain, moderate southwesterly winds, top temperature 19 degrees this afternoon. Overnight lows 15 degrees with partially cloudy skies. Tuesday and Wednesday partially cloudy tomorrow with highs of 20 to 22 degrees. Sunshine, showers and thundery outbreaks on Wednesday with a high of 20. Finally.
People born before 2000 have reminisced over the cultural crazes that define their childhoods, from video box sets to Microsoft Minesweeper. Nostalgic social media users have been reminiscing in posts shared on Twitter under hashtag I'm This Old. People from around the world looked back at the movies, games and toys that were in fashion
Space Hoppers.
When they were growing up. Among the technology games and movie hits, one user remembered having to watch the 1997 hit Titanic on two separate videotapes, while another recalled the Battle of Tommy's Waterfall Ring Toss. Do you remember that?
No.
The rings that would fall down in the water.
No.
Yet.
Oh, okay. I've grown up by then, I think.
Oh, still waiting for you to grow up, aren't
Thank
we?
Thank you.
Elsewhere, one Twitter shared an etch and sketch game. You remember that?
Oh, I remember that,
yes.
Yeah. I was useless at etch and sketch. Oh, dear.
And another one shared a picture of the car stereo front that you used before the days of inbuilt music systems,
yeah.
You know, that you used to have to put in. And also the 1960s computer game Minesweeper, which involved clicking buttons and avoiding the bomb.
Chopper bikes.
Yes.
Kaplunk.
Kaplunk.
Battling tops.
Oh, dear.
It's all coming back to me now.
Yeah, there you go.
Well, so do you remember that the boxing game where you had the two plastic boxes in the ring and you had to sort of push the buttons on each side and they'd punch each other?
No, right? I don't remember. I was Sabutio. I had
that. Knockout or something, wasn't it called? Sabutio, yeah.
That was good.
But did you only have football Sabutio?
Yes. Why? Was there another one?
We were Sabutio mad in our house. We had rugby Sabutio and cricket Sabutio as well, yeah.
Didn't even know they existed.
Yeah, rugby Sabutio and cricket Sabutio. I think I still got them somewhere.
I bet they're worth a bubble tea.
Maybe.